Let me begin by a word of prayer. Father, we come to you and we ask that you would help us as we see what you expect of our children. Help us to know how to serve them, to minister your truth to them so that they might obey you. We pray, Lord, that you would be exalted in this time. In Christ's name, amen. Well, this is the second session. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Please turn there. We are already there for our first session. Brother Andrew, he focused mainly on verse 4, to the fathers and to the parents. I want to look at what God expects of our children. What is God's will for the children? It says in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. If you work for a company, you know what you need to do. You know your job. You know what you're trying to produce. If there is a worker trying to build a house, they know that they need to make walls, they need to make floors, they need to make ceilings, they need to make all the parts of a building. Me, as I work as an electrician, so I know that I need to put in plugs in the walls, outlets, and I need to put lights in the ceilings. I know what I need to do. I know what I need to make. I need to make a house. My boss also needs to know what I need to do. He needs to know, as my boss, we need to make a house together. And his job is to make sure that I am supplied with everything that I need to make the house. My boss doesn't make the house. I make the house. I put the pieces together. His job is to make sure that I have everything that I need in order to make that house. He goes out, he buys the wood, he buys the wires, he buys the boxes, he buys all the parts, and it's my job to put it together and to make a house. As parents, you are like that boss. You need to know, as we learned in our first session, what is the goal? The goal is a life that glorifies Christ. The goal for our children is that they come up to know our Lord Jesus Christ. And they would live to honor Him in their life. It's their job to live that life, though. We cannot live the life for them. But as parents, if I know what their goal is, I need to supply everything that they need. You must supply everything that is required for them to live that godly life. You must supply them with the materials and the tools that are necessary to build that life that glorifies Christ in all things. And so we're going to look this morning at what God's will is for your children. He desires obedience, salvation, and sanctification. And we're going to see what God requires of them. But in doing that, we're going to see your responsibility as that boss, as the parent. What do I need to supply for my children so that they can fulfill God's will for them? God's word tells us that parents are to exercise authority over their children. And it is their responsibility to see that they obey. And so the first point in your notes is that God desires a child's obedience. God desires a child's obedience. See, you as a parent, you are God's representative. You speak on God's behalf into the life of your child. You represent authority in the life of your child. Much like police, they represent the authority of the government. You as a parent represent authority. But whose authority? It's God's authority that you represent. You do not represent your own authority. You don't simply say you must obey me and that's it. No. When you call for your child to obey you, you are saying, obey me. And as you obey me, you obey God. You are God's representative authority to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, as we heard from our brother Andrew. And so it is your responsibility as a parent, as a steward before God, to raise God's gift of children the way that He has prescribed. Look what it says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It doesn't stop with you. It's not just children, obey your parents, period. A lot of times we as parents like to say that. Obey me. It's because I said so, right? Clean your room. Why? Because I said so, right? We do that a lot. Notice here that it says, obey your parents in the Lord. Yes, your children are called to obey and to honor you as their parents. But ultimately, it is to God that they are living for and they are obeying to. It is to Him, to His authority over their life, that they must submit. Your children are called to obey and honor you. And to obey has to do with action. It says, obey your parents in the Lord. And then look down in the next verse, verse 2, honor your father and mother. So obedience has to do with action. And honoring has to do with attitude. Our Lord is concerned with both. What our children do, and why they do it. And the word for obedience in verse 1 is the same word. Look in verse 5. If you look there with me in verse 5, it says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh. It's the same word. It's the same word. And this doesn't mean that our children are our slaves or our employees. It's not what it means. But what it does mean is that the kind of obedience that is expected of you as an employee in the workplace, that kind of obedience is expected of your children. What kind of obedience does your employer expect of you? Let's have some interaction. When your boss tells you to do something, and you are told to obey, what should that look like? Describe that kind of obedience.
Prioritize the task.
Yes, it's a priority. What they have told you takes the top of the list, right? Yes.
Without question.
Yes, you don't argue with them. Well, I don't think that's the right thing to do. Right? We don't do that. How else? Yeah. And so you take their direction, right? You don't make up your own path. You don't make up your own task. Even in how the job is done, it's done how they want it done. Yes. And so your obedience, like to your employer, it's immediate, right? It's right away. They don't tell you to make something or to do a task at work and then you say, oh, when I get to it, I'll get to that. You know, maybe tomorrow. You know, I'll let you know when I'm ready to obey you. It's thorough. Your obedience to your boss is thorough, isn't it? You make sure that you see the job through all the way. And it's without complaint. You don't do the job and complain and whine about, oh, I should have done it this way, or, oh, this is the wrong task. Oh, I wouldn't do it like this. Or, oh, I don't know why I'm here. My boss is so mean. It is immediate. It is thorough. And it is without complaint. So also is that is what is expected of our children. Their obedience is immediate. We should have the expectation as parents that our children obey us the first time. That's hard. To have your child obey on the first time when I tell them to do something, that is hard work. Because often, it is not the first time when they obey. It is after I have told them maybe 5 times, and is after I have counted to 10, right? That's when they obey. But our goal, your goal as parents, should be that their obedience becomes quicker, sooner, without me begging them. And so that requires a lot of work for us parents, doesn't it? That's a lot of work. Because it's so easy to sit down in a chair and say, oh, go clean your room. And then forget about it for a half hour. And then go clean your room again. And then forget about it for a little while. And then later on in the day, go clean your room. I told you already. It's so easy to do that. To have our child obey whenever they're ready. It is much harder to say, go clean your room. And then when they don't get up, I get up. You get up. And you deal with their disobedience. Because that's really what it is, isn't it? That's really what it is. If they don't immediately obey you right away, that is disobedience. If you don't immediately obey your boss, does he say, oh, that's okay? No, he says, you will obey. Your boss says, you will do what I tell you to do right now, or you will find another place to work. Our obedience should be immediate. And thorough, and without complaint. This word for obedience, for obeying, what God expects of your children is to obey. And this word, it's this word that is used for hearing. But there's some letters attached to this word that intensifies the hearing. It is like an intense hearing. And so because of that, it is more than just allowing our commands to hit their ears and to understand what the words mean. It is more than just comprehending what I want them to do. It is intentional. The hearing that our children should have of us is that what I say matters. It's a hearing with a purpose to act upon what is heard. When the father or the mother speaks, there should be a weight there in the home. There should be mom is speaking, daddy is speaking. I need to listen. So there is a respect there, isn't there? God desires that your children honor you and obey you. And when they hear your commands, it matters. Why? Well, because the commands of God matter, right? When God commands you in Scripture to love your enemies, to be patient, to honor your wife, to work, those commands matter, don't they? They matter to you. Our obedience to our Heavenly Father is a full obedience. And when we hear His commands to us have a weight to them. So it should be for our children, because we are training them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We want them to care about what we say, Because we want them to care about what God says. That's the point. And so we as parents, we need to model this, though, don't we? We need to model this kind of obedience. Because God expects you to obey Him as well. Not just your children. You ought to obey them as adults. You ought to be having a pattern of life that is in submission to God and His Word. And your children are going to pick up, is my father really his own boss? Or does he obey somebody else that is higher than them? Does he obey Christ? Or is he just his own man? Your children will pick up on that. And as parents, if God desires obedience from you, you should desire obedience and expect obedience out of your children. Do not lower God's standard of obedience because you are too busy or tired to enforce obedience. And we heard earlier about exasperating our children. One way that we do that is that we give them unreasonable commands, unrealistic commands and expectations. We say things like, never do that again, right? Don't ever do that again. Or I want you to remember to do this one thing all the time. Right? Clean your room. And then they clean their room and I say, okay, I want you to do that every day. So the next day comes around and the room's dirty. What do you say? Well, I told you yesterday to clean your room and I expect this room to be clean all the time. That's unrealistic. So we ought not to give commands that are just too high for them to attain. We need to understand that they are children, that they grow. They grow, and so we deal with them in the stage that they're at. We're going to learn about that in another lesson. But you deal with them in the stage where they are and have expectations that are honest and realistic. You don't expect a 5-year-old child to remember what you said yesterday. Or the day before, or a month ago even. And obedience is more than just getting the job done, isn't it? Obedience is more than just doing the job. Because God looks at the heart. Children are also to honor their father and mother. Not just obey, but in verse 2, honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and mother. This means that they are to give you a high status in their mind. Your children should look up to you. They should honor you. There should be a dignity there of parents. I don't know what it's like here, but that is very lost where I'm from. That is so lost. Children do not honor authority. Young people do not honor authority. The motto, the mantra of the youth where I am from is question authority. To second guess authority. That is not what God wants. God desires your child to obey and to honor you. They are to show respect to their parents. And the way that we see it often is, do they obey? That's what it will look like. Do they obey? Parents, as a parent, you're not commanded to earn that honor. It should be something that's already there. You don't need to earn this honor from your children. It should be instilled in them. However, you ought to be worthy of that honor. You ought to be worthy of the honor that is expected of your children. Because again, remember, you are God's representative of authority in their life. You want them to honor God, don't you? That's the goal. We want them to honor the Lord. And so if I want them to honor the Lord, and I am His representative in their life, they need to honor me. And through their honor of me, they honor the Lord. Proverbs 26:1 says, like snow in summer and like rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Honor is not fitting for a fool. It is not right that you honor a fool. It's like snow in the summertime. It's out of place, right? It's like rain when you should be picking the fruit and the crops. That is not the time for rain. That's not the time for snow. It is not fitting. So it is not fitting to honor a fool. So in your home, we need to ask ourselves, do I play the part of a fool? Am I prone to anger as a parent? Am I quick to being impatient? All the ways that a fool is described in Proverbs, am I like that? And then I turn around and ask them to honor me? I break out in anger and wrath and impatience, and I'm different one day to the next. And then I turn around and I say, now honor me. God would say, that's like snow in the summer. It doesn't fit. Proverbs 26:8 says, like one who binds a stone in a sling, so is he who gives honor to a fool. A slingshot with a stone in it, when you twirl that slingshot or you pull back the rubber on the slingshot, the rock is not tied to the sling, right? What's supposed to happen is you pull back the rubber on the slingshot and you launch the rock forward and it flies. But what if you were to tie that stone to the sling? You pull back the rubber and you let it go and it just goes. It goes nowhere. It goes nowhere. There's no result of what you're doing. So it is, if you are a fool in your home, if you do not live according to God's word and give Him honor in your life, all the work that you do will be like a stone that's tied to a sling. It won't go anywhere. Often we as parents act sinfully in our homes. And then we turn around and we demand respect because I'm the man, because I'm the mom. And God says, be someone who deserves that honor. Yes, your children are expected to give honor no matter what. Yes. But are you making it easy or are you making it difficult? Your children are expected by God to honor you. Make it easy for them. Make it easy for them to have somebody to honor. Because that is what God desires. Don't make it difficult for them to obey the Lord. Second, God desires a child's salvation. This is sweet. Our God desires to save our children. That is a promise. And it's not a promise that says He will save every single one. But this is a promise of this is what our God is like. This is a pattern that we can see in Scripture and in life. God has determined that our offspring will serve Him. Go to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. And somebody can read Psalm chapter 22, verse 30 and 31. Thank you. When you read a verse like this, there's a confidence, right? There's a confidence that these things will happen. Look what it says. Posterity will serve him. It will be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They will come. They will declare his righteousness. Do you see? There's a confidence there. We can have that as parents. Confidence that God will work. If I am faithful to my task to bring the gospel of Christ and to bring this environment of honor and obedience to the Lord, God will work. He will. Sometimes we can get hopeless though. Because they disobey again, and they make a bad choice again, and they don't honor me again, and they complain about church again. We can be discouraged as parents. You must cling to a promise like this. Have the confidence in our God that this will happen. That he is faithful to his word. He will have a people who worship and serve him in the coming generations. You see, this is about the glory of God, isn't it? This doesn't say posterity will have a great job. It will be told of this church to the coming generation. They will come and declare that India is a great country or something. This is all centered around God. Posterity will serve who? Him. It's the Lord. It will be told of who? The Lord to the coming generation. They will come and declare what? The righteousness of God. And to a people to be born that who has performed it? That God has done great works. See, it's centered on God. And centered on the worship of Him. And that's why we can have confidence in this promise. It's because it's not about you. They're not going to, the promise is not that they will come and declare how wonderful a parent you are. And that posterity will come and serve you. Your child will serve you. And they won't be told about your righteousness as a parent. No, it's centered on the Lord. And that's why we can have confidence in a promise like this, is because it's about Him and His glory. And God is passionate about His own glory in this world. The worship of God will not stop with this generation that's in this room. It can't. Because He's too glorious. Don't you see? Because He is too awesome. That's why. Not because you did a good job, but because He is great. That's why we can have this promise that they will love the Lord in the coming generation. We can be confident in this. And so this should give us great hope in our prayers and in our teaching and in our disciplining. God has a desire to save the next generation. He has a desire to gather worshipers unto Himself. He will do it. So this doesn't mean that I just sit back and say, well, God will do it, right? We don't do that. We don't say, Well, God made this promise and I can just do, I can live however I want. I can be lazy as a parent. And I know that God has this promise that he's going to save my children. No. You have a responsibility to tell your children about the Lord. To tell your children about his commandments and his accomplishments. Look at Psalm 22, verse 30 again. Verse 31, they will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born. What? What will be declared? That he has performed it. You see, what will be declared to the coming generation? What God has done. That is what will be declared. His great accomplishments and the most amazing accomplishment of God is found on the cross of Christ. That's the most amazing thing that God has ever done. More amazing than saving Israel out of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea. More amazing than giving them this land and giving them victory over their enemies in this promised land. More amazing than bringing them out of exile, out of a hostile country, and delivering them out of that and putting them back in their land. More amazing than even creating the whole world with the Word. His most amazing accomplishment that God has done. The most amazing accomplishment that God has done that we declare to our children is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is that God has become man and has died on a cross to suffer his wrath. To suffer the wrath of God. So that you don't have to, if you would just simply believe and surrender your life to him. Then there is forgiveness and love and reconciliation there to be had for you. That is the great accomplishment of God. That is what must be told to the coming generation. That is your responsibility, parent. You are commanded to guide and to discipline your child for their ultimate good. Because this is what God wants. God wants to save them. In Ephesians 6:1, it says, obey your parents in the Lord. So there is this expectation that your children have a relationship with the Lord. And that through their obedience to you, they're obeying their Lord. It is their Lord. So there is this expectation, this hope that we have, that God desires to save our children, and he desires to receive their obedience as an act of worship. But you are commanded to guide, to discipline your child for their good. Look at Proverbs, if you're in Proverbs. Actually, turn to Proverbs, please. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13. Somebody read verse 24 for us. Thank you. We're going to talk about discipline a little later on today and tomorrow. But look what it says. If you love your child, you will discipline him. Do you think God loves your child? Do you think the Lord wants to save them? I would say yes. And so, if he loves your child, his love must come through you, and it looks like this. Discipline. A diligent discipline. And it's not just spanking, it's not just physical discipline, it is through words as well. But we'll look at that a little bit later. Go with me to Proverbs 23 also. Proverbs 23. Somebody read verse 13 and 14.
Him with a rod, he will not die.
strike him with a rod, you will save his soul from Sheol.
Thank you. Look at this. I love this. When I discipline my child, they tend to overreact a little bit. They don't. It's not fun, right? Spankings are not fun. But it's funny because he says, strike them. Do it, though. I know it's not fun, but you need to do it. And don't worry, they're not going to die. It might look like they're going to die. They might think they're going to die. They might act like they're dying. But they're not going to die. And then notice the promise, though. Why will they not die? Why ought we to do this? He says, you shall strike them with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. That's the desire. You see, this love of God for your children comes through you in this lifestyle of discipline for your children. And how can we say that it's love? Well, because through this, in this verse, through the discipline, you're actually rescuing them from hell. You see, we're going to talk about this more, but I can't resist. If you never discipline your child, what does that say about God? Remember, you are his representative of authority. Right? You represent the authority of God in their life. And so if their idea of authority is just like all these commands and never any consequences, if their idea of authority is just barking orders out, but never following it through. And I can obey whether I want to or not, depending on how I feel today. And I don't have to worry about anything happening to me because I never get spanked. I never get disciplined. What does that say about God to them? If you tell them you need to clean your room and they don't do it and you don't do anything about it, maybe the pastor stands up here and preaches, you need to repent of your sins and turn to Christ or he will punish you in hell. Right? That is part of the gospel. Or if the children's ministry teacher, if he says to your child, you need to repent of your sins, come to Christ and escape his wrath. But all they know about authority is you can obey when you want to. That command for them to repent that they hear from here and from their teachers and from you, that command to repent has no weight. Do you see that? It has no weight because I can obey. That's all I know about authority. I can obey whenever I feel like it. And really, how can I know that hell is real? How do I know that punishment is real? Because all I know about authority is there's no punishment. There is no consequence. And so they grow up. They can grow up with this weird understanding, this false understanding of God. That he is a God who calls for repentance and is, he says you need to come to Christ or he's going to punish you. But, you know, He's not really like that. He'll forgive you eventually. You know, you just got to be good enough. That's the understanding that they're going to have of God. Instead, God says, because I want to save them, because I desire to save your children, you need to show them that there is real consequences for your disobedience to me. That when there is sin, when there is disobedience, there is a result, and it is not good. They need to see that the wages of sin is death. They need to see that. And the way that they see that is through your discipline, parent. Fulfilling your God-given role as authority over your child's life is God's means to rescue your child from misery and from judgment, and to bring joy to your family, because He will save them. It is His promise. Third, on your notes, God desires a child's sanctification. God desires your child's sanctification. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it will be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. This command is undergirded. The foundation of it is a quote from commandment number 5 of the 10 commandments. He's quoting here Deuteronomy 5 and Exodus 20. And the main point why Paul quotes this verse, he quotes this commandment, is to confirm and establish that obedience to parents is right and good because it is commanded by the law of God. That's why obeying your parents is right. That's why you as a parent say, obey me. It's not just because it's respectable in our society. It's because that is what God's law requires. It is what God's word says to do. That is the basis and the root of all your commands to your children, is the word of God. And the basic reason for children to obey and honor their parents is simply because it's right. It's right. And the rightness of obedience and honor is not because it's morally good in our society. It's not because that's what makes good children and good adults. It's based on God's standard of what is right. It's because God says this is right. Look what it says. Honor your father and mother. That's what God says. This is God's command. In Deuteronomy 5, it says, honor your father and mother, for this is right. And this idea that it is right, it's correct, it's just, it's righteous. It's how things ought to be. A child obeying a parent is how it ought to be. And so a disobedient child is not how it should be. If your household is characterized by disobedience, that is not how things ought to be. Not because it's stressful, not because it's hard, but because it is against what God has commanded. And so, parents, you need to uphold this standard of obedience in your children. This is what God desires of them. Everything that God commands is right and good, and so we need to trust Him and to hold our children accountable to their obedience to us as to the Lord. And look at the promise. It says that it may be well with you. And that's about the quality of life that they have. And it also says that you may live long on the earth. That you may live long on the earth. And that relates to the quantity of life promised. How much life is promised. How long they live. And the original promise here, when we look back to Deuteronomy and to Exodus, they were promised to Israel. And it involved very tangible, physical, earthly blessings, like a land that they could look at. But when Paul refers to this verse, He shows that that promise extends to us today in a certain way. Though this blessing that our children get may not be a physical land for our children, it is the blessing that is tangible for our children is a family where children and parents live in mutual love and submission. And the result is harmony, is happiness in the home. It is satisfaction in the family. That's the result. That's how it will go well with them. And the promise for living long on the earth, the believer, the child who is a believer, who honors his parents, can know that his lifetime will be the full measure that God intends for them. And it won't be cut short like Ananias and Sapphira. But rather, they will live long on the earth. They will live as long as God has prescribed for them. If they obey their parents and they live a life of obedience to God. Also, a person who grows up with this sense of respect and obedience for their parents, they have the foundation of life for respecting the authority of other leaders in their life, of their bosses, of the government, of the police, and things like this. It shows them how to honor other people in general. That's why it will go well with them. That's why their life will not be cut short, as it were. It's because they have this basis in the home. They have this basis that they've grown up with. What does honor look like? What does obedience look like? They have been trained by us as parents to honor God. So this is what God desires of our children. And the question is, am I providing everything that they need to live like this? Am I providing a house, a home, where obedience is required and expected, where honor is given? Am I providing an environment in my home where the gospel is being taught? Are you providing an environment in your home where Christ is central to your life? Where God is honored and obeyed? You see, because God desires your child's obedience and their salvation and their sanctification. Are you providing what they need? Are you providing God-given commands? Biblical commands, are you giving them those things so that they would obey? Are you providing the gospel so that they can be saved? And are you providing an environment where you are obeying God's commands and they see what a holy life looks like so that they would be sanctified in their life? Let me pray. Father, we ask for your help. Lord, we need you. We cannot do this alone. We can't do this alone. We need your Spirit, Lord. Every day we need your Spirit. We need to depend on you to preach the gospel to our children, to live in obedience to you as Christians ourselves. We need your help to understand your word so that we can give it to our children. Oh Lord, would you help us? This is a high calling as parents. Would you help us to be diligent and not lazy? Would you help us, Lord, to honor you in our lives through our parenting? Lord, we desire for our children to come up, to grow up, and to know the love of Christ. Lord, help us not to get in the way. Lord, we want to give everything that they need to have that kind of a life later on. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.